there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales.
Providing the in-flight entertainment this week on Alan Air is a comedian and author who is just about to embark on a huge, brand new UK stand-up tour success story. Please welcome on board the wonderful Sarah Pascoe! This is the final boarding call for Sarah Pascoe. Sarah Pascoe, this is the final boarding call. Sarah Pascoe, can you please go to the gate? Thank you, Sarah Pascoe. Pascoe, you need to go. Sarah Pascoe, can you please go to the gate? Thank you. Sarah Pascoe, go, go, go. Thank you. And look who we've got on board today. It's Sarah Pascoe. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Thank you for flying, Alan Air.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. We're about to take off, so can you put your window up, please, and your seat tray?
A window up. The, yeah.
The blind.
That's so they can see us if they crash, isn't it? So they can see inside at our charred corpses and go, oh, there's some comedians on this. Get Steve Bennett round.
Do you ever think, you know that big door by the beginning? Mm. Have you noticed, because I've been doing a lot of travelling recently, because I'm doing this show in Sicily, they're putting this, just that red little tape over the handle. I'm thinking that is not going to stop a drunken passenger off their face.
No, it absolutely isn't. In a way, it's encouraging them, making it like naughty.
Yes. Yeah. And why put it near the toilet? You know, when people go up there and like,
yeah,
and they're going to just yank
and
it.
And also,
open.
The flight attendants, you never think, that's who I want, wrestling someone to the ground when they've had too much Prosecco.
What kind of a traveller are you? Can you relax? Do you go away for culture? What do you do? Inspiration? What?
Well, at the moment, like you, I'm travelling for work. So I just came back from Greece, just about to go to Denmark and then Jordan. And so travelling in that...
Katie Price?
Katie Price, yes. Going to Katie Price. And then I'm going to come back and tell you all about everything I found. It actually feels like a huge luxury because someone else is paying for my business class.
Oh, wow.
And I have now since like paid for my own business class. Mm. But the first time was work. I got business class from Australia back to the UK for a job. And it's just such an insanely wonderful experience.
Yeah. But I thought you did the UK and because I'm doing it the other way around.
Yeah.
I've got a gig in Athens.
Yeah.
I don't even know. And I'm going to have to change my act, find the Greece. What's Greek for Silit Bang?
Oh, but it'll be wonderful because, you know, they don't have stand-up comedy there, really. They think comedy is like Aristophanes. Like, they think it's like ancient Greek.
Oh, really?
Comedies, yeah. Because I just came back from there. I kept asking and I kept having to define stand-up comedy. And they were like, oh, so it's like Aristophanes, but you. Doing all of it, all the characters.
So I'm like a comedy Zeus.
Yeah, that's you.
I'll pop that on my poster.
I'll have a wonderful time. And,
so that they get you and everything, you're not like...
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think they really appreciate it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because I thought traditionally you do all the UK dates, then you do the travelling, because I've put mine at the end because I like to have a little holiday.
I'm doing documentaries, not gigs there.
I get it.
Yeah. So
what's your documentary on? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, yeah. It's because we did a first series before COVID and then we got stopped halfway through in Finland. Yeah. We just visited Father Christmas in Lapland. And then the Finnish authorities said, you need to get out. There's a global pandemic. And we were like, what an overreaction by the Finnish. And then we landed in Heathrow and there was no toilet paper in the country. It's like, what have we missed? And so this is us sort of doing the second half of that series.
Oh, I got me wires crossed. Yes. Because you're starting the tour.
Starting the tour in November.
All the way through to April. You're going everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you enjoy touring?
I love it. And especially not having had stand-up. Like lots of comics, you really did miss the thing and go, oh no, that's the thing I really enjoy. You were like really, really missing it and being sort of desperate to go and see people again. I didn't think I liked people until they were taken away from me. And then I was like, no, I do like audiences.
Yeah. And it's called Success Story.
Yeah.
Now, did you do that weird thing where you have to name the tour and then write about it? Or did you know it's all going to be about my life, fame and how you
changed? I had a ballpark because I did IVF to conceive my son, and the word success is used a lot, like success rates, your success chances, unsuccessful pregnancy, all these kind of things, which made me reflect a lot on actual success, job success, and I thought, there's two halves, there you go. There's a title, do some photos, and then I'll write a show.
Oh, that's good, that's good. I mean, when you talk about your stand-up, when you, because obviously you're married now and you've got a kid, but there's a lot of, you talk about going to Morocco, especially on your podcast alone, and then you went to Paris on your own. Do you like going away on your own, or was that just material that you made up?
I think actually it was about having money, actually. Because I didn't travel as a younger person, single parent family, not having a lot of money. And so there was a point with my job where I realised, I guess like I'm moving away from the working class thing of like, you never do self-indulgent things. Yeah. And then going, oh, I can very legitimately do self-indulgent things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
actually like go to nice places. Yeah. And that's why I think I talked about Morocco and stuff, because it's like I paid for a nice thing. Mm. I didn't get the nice experience.
No.
But it's still a massive privilege to do it, to be able to go, oh, I'm chilly. Shall I go to a hot country?
Yeah. You're quite down on Paris as well. What did you say the Eiffel Tower was like, a cage in the air?
Oh, I think I was very lonely. Oh, that's because, I don't know if I explained it, but my boyfriend at the time and I, we'd just bought a house, and then I'd bought us this Valentine's trip to Paris, and Eurostar doesn't let you change the name on tickets, so I had to sit next to his empty seat on the way for our Valentine's Day trip. So I think when I was at the Eiffel Tower and I realised everyone else was proposing to each other, I thought, this is a huge mistake. I could have just like left the holiday, but I was like, no, I'm going. I thought something, I'll have some kind of epiphany.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. The Eiffel Tower's a big cage.
Oh, you didn't say that because I watched it on the live at the Apollo, and it's like, oh, she likes travelling by herself. I didn't know that, because you just sound really miserable. You're really not happy about these people being very loved
this
up.
Is the problem with Apollo, when you do 25 minutes and it gets edited down to 7, a lot of the setup's missing.
Yes, it's just bang, bang, bang. Yeah. You're on fire that night. Yes. It was like punchline.
Yeah, it's only punchlines.
But no context.
Yeah, you go, excuse me.
Bonjour, mademoiselle Pascal. Would you like anything on the toilet? Croissant potato, café rouge, crêpes sucées, panini, c'est bien. Oh, thank you.
Tell us somewhere that you've loved going.
I did really love Finland, which surprised me.
I don't know anything about Finland.
No, I didn't. And it's very cold, but they're very happy. They really are happy. So I did. I really liked Finland. I got to go to work. And the other places I got to go to for that documentary, I got to go to Cuba.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. Did you like Cuba? It's so beautiful, isn't it?
But you just, don't you think that when America eventually, when they get the Starbucks, it's all just going to go tits up, because I love those old houses. And of course, people don't realise is they got no funding, did they, when Hurricane Katrina went there.
Yeah.
So they're still battered. And
That's the trouble with the beauty. Sometimes what you're enjoying is like, oh, I love this view. Look how many like shells of buildings there are. It's so nice for my eyes.
I know, and it's like, big issue.
Yeah, but actually, I had the opposite, because like being in a really communist country made me appreciate Tesco. When I came back, I thought it was like an art gallery. I was going around, look how many cereals we've got. Look how many cans. Because, in the hotel we stayed at, because there's no idea of like, what you don't have there is any like business class or five-star hotels. Mm. So I remember the first hotel we stayed at, and I think my documentary contract has in it that I have to stay in four-star or above, because I think we'd heard someone else said that. So we asked for it, Joanna Lumley, I think. Yeah. So you can ask for it. And I remember going to the bar and asking like for a wine list, and they were like, a list. They just had a wine. And you're lucky.
That sounds like a pub near me in Stretford called The Drum. I asked for a rosé and then you got gay bashed. I said, rosé. And they were like, what? And then I think at one point you start trying to pour a red into
mixing
a wine.
It in, yeah, like a Ribena.
So what did you like Cuba? Because I found the people really friendly, really lovely.
It's amazing. It's an amazing country. I think that's the thing about travelling and it being like a new thing in my life. It's just really appreciating how much there is to learn about stuff. Mm. I never learned at school from a book. So I would always have said, oh, I'm really bad at geography. I don't know what the countries look like or anything. And now through work or tours and things, getting to go and then going, oh, it's really interesting. And people are so fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And their interaction with where they live and how they feel. The fact that no one likes their government. Everyone's critical of things. Everyone knows the world could be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about travel, man. Now, Valencia.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you are a vegan.
Yeah.
How did you feel in that meat market thing, because even I found it triggering, and I do like a bit of bacon now and
I think
then.
Sometimes as a vegan I feel like I have to really disprove someone's preconception, because they think I'm going to weep. Like,
and also
I've got a dog and he eats meat every day, and my husband is a meat eater, so you do have to sort of go, it's about other people.
Yeah.
Personal choice.
Because I noticed in the edit you said you're a vegan, then they cut to a pig's head.
Did they?
Yes. I think they were really trying to get you to
obviously,
cry.
I obviously upset them.
Yeah. What did you say to them?
Yeah, obviously. Just kept going, Richard Ayoade is very boring. I didn't say that. But I did an episode of Saturday Kitchen last year, and it was like they did like a special vegan episode, and all the dishes they cooked me were vegan. But the interstitials were all videos of like cattle farming and that same thing of like hanging up meat, and viewers were like, this is incredibly inappropriate of all the vegan hashtags.
Do you find people do head tilt that you're a vegan and go, ah? Oh.
I think they're really ready. It's one of those things where they're really ready to sort of find a flaw, to find a hole in your argument. Anything, you know, like if you do a charity gig, and you'll have this as well, Alan, you get messages from people going, why don't you help people closer to home?
Oh, God,
why don't you do this? Once I advertise...
Oh, my favourite is, enjoy the tea.
Yeah.
No, it's a charity, no, we don't get paid.
Yeah.
No, we don't get paid,
they're trying
you know
to find
that.
A hole. They're trying to go, if you got paid for that, it's discounted, you're not a better person than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had it, when you do things for, like, Comic Relief or... Any big charity, you get people going, why don't you help smaller charities? Those big charities get all of the money and publicity. Once I just posted about a litter pick on the Thames out of plastic, and someone wrote, not going to make any difference. It's like, and it's very similar with vegan. People want to go, do you still eat honey? Do you still do this? Because if you do, fuck it. It's ruined. Don't you? Because what they hear is you going, what you say, oh, I'm a vegan, means I don't want to eat, you know, animal products. And what they hear is, I think I'm better than you. Yeah, and that's in them. So I'm always desperate to be like, I'm a shit vegan, I'm not this.
Yeah.
The vegans hate me as well.
Oh, you shouldn't be like that.
No.
I rescued a dog from Korea, it was going to be eaten. Yeah. Well, there's English dogs that need English homes. Listen, this poor fucking dog was going to be eaten. Yeah. Back off.
Yeah, exactly. There's one little life there that's been changed forever in a positive way. It's really hard, isn't it, when you just go, I wasn't saying I'm Jesus. Yeah. I was saying I rescued a dog.
Yeah, oh, that's all I did. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, bless that little dog.
I know, it's going to be eaten, bless him. It's not going to be eaten now. Mind you, during lockdown, there was a few, you know, a lot of hoarding had gone on in my local supermarket.
I hope they're very careful not to look too delicious. I've got some stuff in my show about feeding my dog meat and what weird things. So I'm buying the most expensive dog food you can buy because I have such guilt about it, which is really irrational because it doesn't affect any of the animals.
No.
But I have this thing of like they're less oppressed, like if they've been paid more.
What, like, do you mean like corn-fed?
Yeah, you know, like
the chicken. You know, like, what do you think about that? Because I think that is pointless. They're still killed at the end.
I think a lot of it's very arbitrary. I was really disappointed. I think that's why I went from vegetarian to vegan, was when I found out that free range isn't a meaningful term.
No.
Like, it's not a legal definition.
They can just sort of put their leg out
the
cage
like
that.
That's it. Or there's ones where they go every 15
they're
minutes.
They're allowed to stretch.
Every 15 minutes they take the top of the cages off so they can stretch their necks, and they put it free range. And you go, I thought they were going to university and a lovely life. Like,
catching a show.
Yeah, that's it. They just drop some eggs on the way. I really had visions of people like chasing around, scrabbling through fields to find these eggs. Yeah, so all, some of it. But then we do what we can to feel better about it.
Yeah.
Do you ever think when you're travelling, oh, I need to do like offset my carbon emissions? Because that's something that I've been thinking with the long plane rides and stuff.
I had a couple of hanging baskets put in.
Did you?
Baby steps.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
What's that, Mother Earth? You're welcome.
They want to talk. They want you to talk at the next G8 summit now. That's one of the movers and shakers.
Now, we do a lot of travelling, and that's another thing. When you talk about the environment and travelling, you can't really win, because just simply getting in a car, simply getting up in the morning, going to work is... you're messing up the planet. So you can't beat yourself up too much.
No.
But then you go somewhere like Vietnam, you go around those factories, they're pumping shit out all the time. And there's me washing my yogurt pots. I feel like a dick.
Yeah. There's a comic, Alfie Brown's got this amazing routine about Greta Thunberg and how she blames white men, which is actually completely reductive in terms of this worldwide problem. But she wouldn't dare go, look at all these Chinese people. I'm paraphrasing his routine, but it's a very good unpicking of this thing of like, when you say, oh, it's the rich white men, we go, yeah, it is, isn't it? When actually it's more complicated than that.
Oh, yeah, very complicated. Have you ever had to eat meat abroad because there's been no vegan option?
I have had been served meat in Norway. I went to Norway for some gigs, and I was told, oh, this is, it's veganism isn't really a thing here, but there's a vegetarian cafe. So I went to a vegetarian cafe and I ordered a salad, and it came with a beef burger on it. And beef burger on a salad isn't even a thing. So it was such an odd thing. And the trouble is, like, juice like runs onto the leaves. So it's not one of those things we can go, well, I've paid for it, everything's dead, I need to eat before my gig, I'll just take that burger off and put it on the side. It was just running all over it. And I was like, maybe this is just an amazing corn burger that smells, looks, and sort of runs bloody. So is this cow? Yes, lucky you, enjoy your salad.
Oh.
Yeah, I've had situations like that. Or I remember a really long time ago being in Italy, 2001, I had a job in Italy for 3 months going around schools, and that vegetarianism wasn't a thing there. So they'd give you just like a pizza with some ham on it.
Yeah. Eat round it.
Yeah.
My friend vegetarian went to Tunisia, and then they just gave us goat curry. I mean, you know, if there are some veg, you go, oh, I eat fish, but I mean, goat is proper up there in the...
Yeah.
And then she said vegetarian, and then he just looked at her and then just scraped it off, and there was still goat residue on the plate.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And again, goat, it's not a meat that people are familiar with eating, so you really do visualise a goat.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Free-range goat.
Yeah.
Hiya, love. I've just seen you there chewing your arm. Would you rather have some nuts or pretzels or something like that, Pringles? No, they're cheese and onion, not flesh-flavoured. Sorry.
So where did you go on holiday as a kid?
Well, I was thinking that on the way here, where I was desperate to go on holiday, my dream would have been Butlins, which we never went to.
No.
But that's what I wanted us to do. I heard about Redcoats. I really thought they were the epitome of show business. When I was 18, I went and did sort of worked in holiday resorts doing low rent redcoating, because I really thought that was it.
Wow.
But we went to Cornwall.
Lovely.
Yeah, Cornwall. And at that point, I'm really embarrassed of the family photos, because I, at that point, wanted to be a model. Thanks, Alan, for supportive laughter. And so what I thought being a model was putting on all your clothes at once. So I had like leggings, skirts, dungarees over the top. I was also what I thought was tie-dyeing, but I was just using toilet bleach in the bath on things. So it's about 11. And also then I started, because of this modelling career, collecting water from streams to wash my hair in, like the Timotei adverts.
Oh, yeah.
So all the photos of this holiday, it's like my granddad, who was dying of lung cancer at the point, which is why I'd gone on this holiday. My mum, my sister, my mum's twin. And then I'm always standing in the back of a rock, like with my hair, like going in the wind, like posing with my arms out. Like because these were going to be like my initial modelling shots. So people will be like, you know, like Kate Moss was discovered in Croydon at 14. Yeah. I really thought this would be me, 11 in Cornwall, my origin story. So we went on sort of UK kind of holidays, not very often. And then I remember we did go on holiday abroad. We had a very sad holiday when my mum really had saved up to take me and my sisters away but then she was very lonely when she was there. Because that's the other thing about travelling. Oh. That's when I realised you can go to a really beautiful place and still feel very sad or think, I'll go to the beach, that'll be much nicer. That'll cheer me up.
Yeah.
And I think my poor mum, because she had 3 children, and I think we were horrible kids as well, so she was sort of sitting on this beach going, oh, this isn't what I wanted. But I want a nice holiday with a partner and someone to do things and someone to go to dinner
with. Modelling
with
in a bikini, like, me, me, me.
Take pictures, mummy.
Do I look gorgeous now, mummy? Look at everyone looking at me, mummy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And then I had a real chip on my shoulder where I was only ever going to travel with work, that I wasn't going to go on holiday. So when I was...
What's this then?
I thought that because I'd chosen to be an actor as my job... not that I was doing any acting, I thought that's very selfish. So how offset it is, I'll have no life. I went to Italy for 3 months. I worked in Lanzarote in a hotel.
I mean, actor, model, stand-up queen, you're a triple threat.
Do you know what though? I really am. I'm going to be the first person who segues through comedy to modelling. You know, like how all these beautiful models are now actresses and very talented and writers and like Lily Cole and stuff. And I'm going to be the one that's like, yeah, and now I'm on the catwalk.
Yeah.
Who saw it?
Your second half coming a backless number.
Yeah.
Sarah will be signing catalogues in the foyer after the show with her own clothes.
Yeah.
Can the young lady parading up and down the plane with the wet hair please return to her seat? This is an aisle, not a catwalk. Thank you.
Have you ever had a holiday romance? Is there like some waiter somewhere crying, looking out on the horizon? When's model Sarah coming?
I would have loved that. It's the kind of thing I would have lied about at school. Because at school, I didn't kiss anyone until I was 16. And in Essex, that's very late.
Oh, God. You're like a spinster.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. I was Miss Havisham of Romford. And so what I would do is come back in after the summer holidays when other people had been on holiday and had those romances, you know, kissed boys, touched up. All
I pretend I'd kissed a girl.
Did you?
Just to throw people off the scent, but no one believed me.
Oh, didn't they?
No.
I used to do a thing, Alan, that's so lame, where, you know, those in like More magazine or Just 17, they're like quizzes.
Oh, yeah.
I used to fill them in with lies and then leave them hanging about. So like there was one, like, how many people have you slept with? Like, and you could like circle like... 1, 5, so many I've forgotten the name. And I'd be like, so many I've forgotten the names.
Oh,
like,
no.
Don't ask me the names because I don't remember. And there was one year where I came back, and this would have been like 15, too old to be doing this. I gave myself love bites all down my lower arms. So I could be like, holiday romance. Much.
I'm a vampire.
No, but also, like, so you can't reach anywhere that anyone would actually suck you. So I could only... Just like, don't ask me. Oh, what a slut. Yeah, so that was always my fantasy.
Yeah.
The idea of meeting people, but never really, definitely never a reality. Never now. No, I think it takes me a little while to fancy people is the other thing. I wouldn't sort of see someone in a hotel resort or a bar and then go, I want them now. So I want them in 2 years when they're clearly not interested in me. Then I'm going to go.
And you've left the country.
Yeah, then I go, actually, I'm going to get obsessed with that person.
I was a bit like that. Yeah. I never fall in love. Oh, my God. It's a slow burner for me. And I think, but on a holiday, that's not good, is it? Because you've only got a week or a fortnight.
The best place to fancy someone is when you work with them, when you have little gaps in between.
Yes.
And it sort of grows a little bit and you suddenly go, excited about seeing that person.
Yeah.
Oh, that person's going to be there.
So where did you meet your husband?
Comedy.
Because he is, isn't it? And he's an Australian.
Yes. He's with my agent. So I apparently met him in Edinburgh 2014. But when I was introduced to him, I said hello to a dog instead. Do you know Vicky Stone's got a lovely dog?
No.
He's Ruby Spaniel, kind of soft and lovely. And I think he was about 2 years old at the time. So apparently my agent said, Sarah, this is Steen. And my eyes just went down to this Spaniel. And I was like, oh, my God, to Vicky Stone's lovely dog. And that was our first meeting.
Oh.
Yeah.
When I lived in Stretford, there's like a nature park there, but I think it was also a bit of a, I knew it was a cruising area. And I was down there and there was a man with a dog. And I went, oh, look at that. And when I looked up, he had his knob out. So, I mean, you don't expect that, do you?
No, but I think it says good things about us.
Yeah.
But it's dog first.
Yeah.
Oh, exposed penis.
Yeah.
It says of what we're attracted to, interested in, our eyes are caught by.
Yeah, I mean, that's me all along. Oh, God, can I stroke it? But...
Oh, I see. Did you have to speak to him?
No, because it's just disgusting, because I hate all that. And I know people think that that's what gays do, but I was like, it's disgusting. Because I love walking around there, because I like bird watching, you see.
Yeah.
Tell us about your travel bugbears. I'll start up.
Okay.
It can be about anything, you know, speedy boarding or anything like that, lost luggage. But I'm filming something in Sicily. I don't get grappa. I don't get that. You have a lovely meal. Here you are. Why don't you have a sip of something that tastes like petrol?
Oh,
I don't get why is that a reward, and why are they so smiley when they give it to you? Because they like destroy the same taste buds that you actually were really enjoying the meal.
I think when that horrible liqueur comes... I've recently been in Greece where it's like ouzo or something. There's another one that's like 42%.
Sambuca.
And they're really proud of it. I think that's the bit where you prove I'm one of you. Now, having eaten your food and chosen these things, now I have the disgusting thing which proves we're all here together. And I think there's a different kind of drunkenness as well, because they're strong. Because it's not like, it's lovely wine. It gives me like nice tastes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's horrible, but then it's like little burning in your stomach and your skin gets slightly flushed.
Yes, maybe it is. But I just thought, you know, all the snootiness they give to us Brits for binge drinking, and then they give you that at the end.
Yeah.
And it blows your mind.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. You don't need to binge. No. You just need one shot.
You're wasting so much valuable time binging.
Just get there like this, boom.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're outside smoking a pipe going, where am I? What's happened?
Have you ever lost your luggage anywhere?
I don't think I have lost my luggage either.
Don't worry, no, you don't have to.
I must take something.
Make it up.
I loved it. Did you see what Aisling did the other day when her luggage was lost?
Yes, and she's in the robe, yes.
I was telling my friend yesterday and she went, oh, all the female comedians must be furious that she's done that. Because like, no one else can ever do that ever again now. Yeah, brilliant. Aisling wore a dressing gown on Jimmy Kimmel because her luggage was lost.
Missing.
So amazing.
clever thing.
And just leaning into something. Just wonderful. What we do have now, so travelling with a baby, so you pay for sort of like, that's for your luggage to come out first because you're working or you're getting back at midnight. But if you have things like a car seat, it comes out last at Heathrow. That's what I don't like. So which means that 2 hours after your flight has landed, your taxi's left. And you're just waiting for the car seat to come out as those like weird shaped things that they've...
Can't you just gaffer tape the baby in the back of the car?
I don't know why you can't hold them, but it's against the law.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And then I was on the plane and one woman wanted a buggy with her on the plane. And the woman said, no, you're not going to use it. She went, I want the buggy. And that caused the row.
Well, it's because then you can come straight off and put them in the buggy. You don't have to carry them. But they've now buggies that they've invented that literally go vroom into a circle. So they just fit in the overhead locker.
That's
literally
amazing.
Literally invented. And then, unfortunately, all my Instagram adverts are for baby things. But literally, there's races where people are trying to get it down in less than a second. It's...
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's proper Dragon's Den, isn't
it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
I like Dragon's Den, do you?
Gone off it a bit
recently. Have you?
What would you go on Dragon's Den with?
Oh, I've got an invention.
Go on, then.
For when you can't decide what to have for breakfast, toast or cereal, tiny toasts... So it's a cereal made up of loads of tiny pieces of toast. And you could either have it in a bowl with milk. Don't worry. I am open to investment. And or you could just put jam and butter on them.
That's amazing. And on the packet, you could model eating them.
Of course I could. I just got pouring them down my throat on a cliff.
Milk all in your
in Cornwall,
It's an Ives.
That's it, yeah.
I had one.
Yeah.
It was... You know, if you've been in a car accident, what about in the airbag, you have makeup? So when you go into the airbag, makeup on your face and you look great. Because, you know, when you're in a car accident, I've been in a car accident, because this scar here. Yeah. And I really wanted to look my best because it's a really awful situation.
And also, sometimes first responders are sexy. Like, why do you want to be looking your worst?
Hey, give me the kiss of life.
I think that doesn't need to be limited to car accidents. I think it's just if you see someone fit in another car or you're about to get there, like, especially for a gig, if you've been caught in traffic and you've got to go straight on stage, it's just being like, I don't want to get to wash my face or look in the mirror or brush my teeth. Imagine if you just press a button, an airbag just puts, like, full drag on you and then you're ready to go. You can have hairspray. Alan, this is amazing.
Oh, my God, and you're there. You've got some tiny bits of toast because it's a morning gig.
Yeah, that's it. They can also feed you. You can put food in airbags. Why are they putting more stuff in airbags?
There you go.
Yeah. You could have like a mini travel air bag in your bag. Just for emergencies. Like a... Yeah.
Now, we're just about to land, I'm afraid. Okay, so make sure your seatbelt's on, okay?
Yes, yeah, yeah, it's on. Oh, here's another thing that's annoying about travelling with a baby. You have to put them in another seatbelt attached to your seatbelt, which they hate. Do you know this?
Oh, I've only seen that on fat people.
Thank you. they're called pregnant, Alan.
Oh, I like to call them fat.
So you put your seatbelt on, and then there's a seatbelt that loops onto yours that you put your baby in. And I guess it's so, like, if you crash, it doesn't sort of go, like, hit the front or something. But it means that there's two buckles digging into a baby that's already in a bad mood.
Oh, that they haven't thought that out,
no,
have they?
No. No. So that's annoying. But so I put on both belts, by
the
way.
You put on both
belts.
Ready
to land,
yeah. That's great. Thank you.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing.
This is a quick fire quiz. Mozzie guard or no thanks, I'm hard. Do you wear Mozzie guard or do you not need it? Or are you bitten alive?
I was told, and I don't think it's true, if you have enough alcohol in your system, they don't want to bite you.
That's not
true. And I've always been aiming for that.
No.
I know, and then I always get bitten. And I'm like, how? I drank so much.
On holiday. That's not true. Even grappa, I think they would still bite.
I think the blood sugar makes them want to bite you more. And I don't know why I keep thinking that's right. And it's not right.
And that gin and tonic's a load of bollocks as well. They're allergic to the quinine or whatever it's called.
Oh, really?
Bullshit.
I had a relative who...
It's a mosquito,
yeah. So she was going to the doctor for ages about heart palpitations. And eventually they found out she had quinine poisoning from her gin and tonics. And it took them so long to work out, and the doctor was going, we just can't work out what on your diet would have given you quinine poisoning.
Shit! That's a lot of gin.
It's a lot of gin.
Nudist or no way?
No way.
Louvre or leave it out? Because you have in your routines, you said about theatre and stuff, but I'm imagining you do. You like a bit of culture.
I do. The reason I don't like the Louvre is because the boyfriend I went there with, it was one of those... I mean, it was obviously the end of the relationship. He only stopped at the paintings with exposed breasts in them. And I found it very frustrating. It was so blatant. He would just be like, whiz, 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 whiz past. Cardinals over there, kings over there. Oh, she's got her tits out. I'll have a stare.
Oh, and he wasn't even like, oh, look at the way the nipple follows you around the room.
And then the poor Venus de Milo, I thought, she hasn't even got arms to protect herself from this lascivious man.
St. Lucia or St. Ives?
St. Lucia. I've never been there, but I'd like to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have you been there?
No, never been there.
Yeah, let's go.
Together. That'd be really nice. New York or LA?
Never been to America.
Never been?
No. It's really... It's getting to the point where it's odd now, where it's like built up in my mind. It's very scary.
Yeah.
And it must be very scary for people who live there as well, but it also must be normal, like our country would look from the outside. Yeah. You just saw the headlines.
And tip 'em or fuck 'em?
Tip 'em.
Oh, that's nice.
Partly because I think it's the right thing to do, but also I think it makes you feel so good. It's one of those things where you get to go, that was lovely. I love meeting that person. Aren't they going to smile when they see that tenner afterwards?
It is.
And then they'll think I'm a nice person. I think I'm a nice person.
Win, win.
My husband's a big tipper, and I think it's such an attractive thing in other people as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You ask, does this go to you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We give you cash. Yeah, do you get it?
It takes a lot to say, oh, can you take that off?
Yeah, they'd have to have done something very seriously wrong.
Spat in your food, I think. Yeah.
My mum doesn't like it when they ask for the table back.
Oh, after 2 hours?
Yeah, and she'll be like, I've had 7 daiquiris, how dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, that's becoming something that's getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
Right, we've landed. Thank you so much, Sam. Have you enjoyed your flight?
I've loved it. I'm going to clap like a good landing, like you do.
Yay.
We're back home. What I didn't even notice. It was so smooth.
Thank you. And don't forget to pick up your car seat 2 hours later. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was brilliant. Thank you so much for flying Alan Air. And don't forget, you can check out Sarah Pascoe live as she tours the UK this autumn with her brand new stand-up show, Success Story.
We're off on our Holly Bobs from today, but don't worry, we'll be back in September with more fabulous guests and travel tales. And don't you ever forget, life's a thing.